ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 9, Text Number 15? Okay. Very good. I thought it was 13. But that's all right, too. So reading from text number 15. Naham bibemi ajita te tibhayanakasya jivarka netra brukuti rabasogra Dangstrat Antra Sraja Kshataja Keshara Shanku Karnan Nirada Bita Digibad Aribhin Nakagrat Naham bibemya jitate tibhayanakasya. Naham bibemya jitate tibhayanak. I'm sorry. Let me start all over again. Naham bibemya jitate tibhayanakasya. Jivarka netra brukuti rabhaso sogradang strat. Jivarka netra brukuti rabhaso gradang strat. Antra srajakshatajat kishara shanku karnan. Antra srajakshata jadkishara shanku karnan. Nirada bhita digivad aribhinna kagrat. Nirada bhita digivad aribhinna kagrat. Naham bibemya jitate tibhayanakasya. Jivarka netra brukuti rabhaso gradang strat. Antra srajakshata jakeshara shanku karnan. Nirada vita digibad aribhinna bhagrat. Naham bibhema jitate bhavanakasya. Naham bebe vijadita te divayana kasya. Antra sajakshata jakeshara shanku karanan. Nirada vita digibadari bindakagara. Ladies. Nam vibhemya jitate tibayana kasya. Jivarka netra bukuti rabaso gradang strat. Antra sraja kshita jakeshara shanku karanan. Nirada vita digavadari vinagagrat. Naham bibemi ajitate divayanakasya. Jivarka netra bhukuti rabaso gradang strat. Antra sraja kshata jakeshara shanku karanan. Nirada vita digibadari bindu. Na, not, aham. I, bibhemi, am afraid. Ajita, O Supreme Victorious Person, who is never conquered by anyone. Te, your. Ati, very much. Bayanaka, fearful. Asya, mouth. Jiva, tongue. Arakanetra, eyes shining like the sun. Brukuti, frowning brows. Rabhasa, strong. Uradangstrat, ferocious teeth. Antrasraja, garlanded by intestines. Shataja, bloody. Keshara, manes. Shanku karnat, wedge-like ears. Nirada, by a roaring sound caused by you. Bita, frightened. Digibat, from which even the great elephants. Adibit, piercing the enemy. Naka agrat, the tips of whose nails. Purport, or translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My Lord, you are never conquered by anyone. I am certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue, your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrows. I do not fear your sharp, pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, your mane soaked with blood, or your high, wedge-like ears. Nor do I fear your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee to distant places, or your nails, which are meant to kill your enemies. Purport. Lord Nrisimhadeva's fierce appearance was certainly most dangerous for the non-devotees. But for Prahlad Maharaj, such a fearful appearance was not at all disturbing. The lion is very fearsome for other animals, but its cubs are not at all afraid of the lion. The water of the sea is certainly dreadful for all living entities on the land, but within the sea even the small fish is unafraid. Why? Because the small fish has taken shelter of the big ocean. It is said that although great elephants are taken away by the flooding waters of the river, the small fish swim opposite the current. Therefore, although the Lord sometimes assumes a fierce appearance to kill the Dushkritis, the devotees worship him. Keshava Dritta Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadishare. The devotee always takes pleasure in worshiping the Lord and glorifying the Lord in any form, either pleasing or fierce. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Giranjana Shalaka Chakshunritam Jina Tasmai Sri Guru Venima Mukham Kuro Diva Chalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yadki Patamande Sri Guru Dhinatarunam. So, I actually prepared for a different verse, so please bear with me. But now we're getting a little bit more into hearing about the descriptions of this wonderful form of Lord Nrisimhadev. And I remember in Denver we had this one person who was a tattoo artist. And when he saw this Krishna art book, and in the art book there was this beautiful picture of Lord Nrisimhadev, he just had to have it. He was so taken back by this beautiful art. And actually, what he ended up doing was he was a sort of a big fella, so he had it put on his forearm. But for the devotees, these although these forms to the common person may appear very ferocious and maybe not very appealing, for the devotees, when the Lord appears in these wonderful forms, it's actually rejuvenating. There's a very nice prayer in which Queen Kunti prays that you appear to rejuvenate the devotional activities of hearing, chanting, and remembering and worshiping you. So for the devotees, it's a whole different experience. When the Lord appears, it's very exciting. And they become enlivened, rejuvenated. For the materialists, of course, their rejuvenation is a little bit different. They need some sort of old song, right? They need to hear something that I remember from when I was so-and-so doing such and such. Then they become rejuvenated. Or they dream from the past and get their little car. Just like every year, I think, twice a year, maybe once a year, they have this auto show over here that happens over in Culver City. Culver City Classic Car Show. It's great. And you see all these different people who are living out their little fantasies. They have their particular car, whether it's some kind of little roadster or whether it's a 1920s or whatever. And they dress it up in so many different ways. And they sit there and they try to enjoy it. And people come by and they spend a few minutes looking, and it creates a little bit of fantasy in their lives, some sort of blast from the past or whatever. They become rejuvenated. But of course, we understand that that sort of rejuvenation is very temporary. It only lasts a certain time. After a short time, you see so many cars, they have these for sale sign on them. Because I'm tired of it. I can't deal with it anymore. I've spent so much money. I spent so much time. Somebody scratched it. It depressed my mind. And it goes on and on. So for the materialists, their idea of rejuvenation is totally different. And there's no satisfaction there. But when the... And why is that? Because, again, when the Lord appears, He's coming to engage in transcendental pastimes. And those who are fortunate, as we were reading in previous verses, Prahlad Maharaj describes how those who are born in, those of us who have been born in this demoniac family, were very unfortunate. And why are they unfortunate? It's because they're engaged, as Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, they're engaged in so many unbeneficial works. Bhagavatam also describes manda sumanda matayo manda bhagyo. They're very unlucky and very, again, unfortunate, unlucky, because they're engaged in so many unbeneficial works. And because of those unbeneficial works, the result of it all is that they're disturbed. So despite whatever energy and endeavor we may put into finding some kind of comfortable position in this material world, it's not possible. Whereas the devotees, those who are appreciating the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His wonderful activities, they're considered actually very fortunate. And haven't forgotten their fortune. Sometimes we see, even in a devotional life, we become very ungrateful for what Krishna has given us. But the devotees of the Lord are very mindful. I'm very fortunate to have whatever facility, whatever ability has been given. Karmana Manasagira, therefore, is described in the Nectar of Devotion that the devotees of the Lord are always engaging their body, mind, and words in devotional activities, utilizing them to the fullest. And with the idea of engaging in devotional service and understanding the personality of Godhead and appreciating His wonderful pastimes. Just like a good disciple is always because of not being theoretically anyway not being envious of the spiritual master, we're very grateful for what he's given. Just like, again, when Krishna appears in this world, the devotees are very grateful for what Krishna is giving. Although it's meant to shake up the materialistic mind, it's meant to wake them up out of their stupor. For the devotee, it's an enlivening experience. Now here we're reading this wonderful description of how the Lord's fierce appearance was certainly most dangerous for the non-devotees. For the non-devotees, again, they're fearful because when the Lord comes, it means that, at least for the materialistic persons, he's here to collect. He wants something, right? Krishna is also described as a hari, or one who takes away. So for the materialistic person, when the Lord appears, it means that I'm going to be called on what I'm doing in this world, what I'm doing in this life. And if I'm engaged in some kind of nonsense activity, it's very uncomfortable. We have practical experience when we're engaged in some nonsense activity and someone calls us on it, it becomes very uncomfortable. So for the materialistic person, those who are engaged in materialistic activities, it's very uncomfortable when these wonderful incarnations appear, because Krishna is coming to call us on our activities. But for the devotees, again, it's very enlivening. It's rejuvenating. Instead of becoming discouraged, we become enlivened to hear and chant about Krishna's activities. We become enlivened to worship him. Srila Prabhupada points out here, the lion is very fearsome for other animals, but its cubs are not at all afraid of the lion. Certainly the lion is a very ferocious animal. But for the for her cubs, there's a certain comfort when those same teeth, right, that are used to kill the demoniac are used to grab hold and transport. You've seen on these nature shows how the lioness, she grabs her little cubs and takes them to safety. So also, when Krishna appears in this world, it's again always for the benefit of the devotees, or the devotees always see it as a benefit. Not that he's coming to necessarily chastise me. Although Krishna can also do that just for our own good. Srila Prabhupada also points out here, the water of the sea is certainly dreadful for all living entities on the land, but within the sea, even the small fish is unafraid. Because the small fish has taken shelter of the big ocean. And Prahlad Maharaj also describes later on in his wonderful instructions that this material ocean, this Vaitaranyas, this river Vaitarani, is full of dangers. We sometimes very subtle, but there are so many dangers in this material world. And if one isn't careful, then even the slightest little inattention to even details, even the smallest details, can cause a lot of trouble, a lot of agitation. Again, we all have practical experience that when we're not attentive with our hearing or chanting, or not attentive with our association, with our just our general practicing of the activities of Krishna consciousness, in due course, one becomes very disturbed. One becomes not very enlivened to engage in devotional service. So this material ocean is a very dangerous place. But if one understands the process, and of course we understand the process is bhakti yoga, means hearing and chanting. Hearing and chanting properly, executing the regulative principles properly, and that way keeping nice and strong, so that when the material energy comes in her different ways, we don't become disturbed by it. Just as a small fish has taken shelter of the big ocean, it understands how the current is flowing. It knows how to maneuver through it. So if we want to understand how to maneuver through this material world, it means taking proper instruction and proper association. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes, although the Lord sometimes assumes a fierce appearance to kill the Duskritis, the devotees worship him. The devotee always takes pleasure in worshiping the Lord and glorifying the Lord in any form, either pleasing or fierce. So this is the reality of Krishna consciousness, that if we execute the process properly, if we, which means again, taking good association, keeping good association, being very attentive, then whatever Krishna may deal, because we all have different issues that we have to deal with. So however Krishna may deal with us, whether it may be in a very pleasing pastime, or it may be a traumatic pastime, as here, Prahlad was in the material estimation would have been terribly traumatized. We can hardly imagine how a small child would be put through all this. It's inconceivable. Nowadays, even the slightest little thing, and the doctor's recommending some kind of medication. Right? As soon as something happens, as soon as there's a little bit of anxiety or whatever, the doctor's recommending medication. I remember when my daughter, we were taking her to, she was going through her last couple years of high school, and she was following this I forget what it's called. It's sort of an advanced placement program. You get put up one or two years ahead, and your courses are a little bit more challenging. Your studies are a little bit more challenging. So she was going through a little bit of a challenging period, and the school recommended that we go and see a psychologist. No, it was a counselor. That's what it was. It was the school counselor. So when we went to the school counselor, we were just there for 5 minutes talking. And the first thing that came out of the counselor's mouth was, you need to take some medications. You need to take certain meds. And my wife and I were a bit stunned. No, we're not interested in that. We don't want to go in that direction. But the counselor said, it's not up to you. The counselor actually said that. It's not up to you. She's old enough to decide on her own. She was 15 or 16 at the time. This is the advice. This is the guidance you get in this material world. This is their answer. But fortunately, she decided, no, I don't want to go there. And dropped that program and went into the regular studies. And did quite well. I think she's still all in one piece. That was traumatic. But again, this is the distress and pressures that is there in material life. It's a very dangerous ocean. It's a very dangerous ocean of material existence. Very difficult. And just like the painting of the jiva who's drowning and he has his hand, he's trying to reach up, and Lord Vishnu's coming down with Garuda. There is a savior, and that is Krishna and his representatives. So we all have practical experience. We're dealing with so many conditioned souls who are struggling very seriously in whatever they're doing. It's certainly a struggle. But the way out of it is hearing and chanting about the pastimes of the Personality of Godhead. And Prahlad Maharaj, later on in this chapter, as he goes along with his wonderful prayers, reveals that, how important it is to take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, and in that way be liberated from this struggle. So again, I didn't have very much time to prepare for this, so please pardon me. Any questions or comments? Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
What he did this morning? Yeah. portion is